Joshua chapter 1, verse 10. I'll review a little bit for the first 9 verses, but we'll move on to the latter part. Joshua 1, 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare yourselves, for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. To the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and shall help them until the Lord gives your brothers rest as he gives you. And they also possess the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to your own land and possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." They answered Joshua, saying, "All that you have commanded us, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Let's pray. Lord, I don't think it's ever a bad thing to be strong and courageous. To be stubborn sometimes is wrong. To be self-willed is wrong. But Lord, to be strong and courageous, that's something to aspire to. Something we admire, something that is not just for the elite fighting men of the world, but for the everyday Christian, and really for others in society who have a role to fill that needs courage. We suffer for lack of courage in our current world. Would help us to, in the Scriptures, see how great it is if we are a courageous people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've heard in recent years, since the space shuttle started flying, there's been 2 accidents with space shuttles. The Challenger blew up first, and then the Columbia blew up upon reentry in the next accident. Each of those cases, it was found that something went bad that compromised the safety of the vehicle and brought its downfall. In the first case, it was those O-rings we've heard about in the solid rocket boosters, because it was too cold for them to seat themselves properly. They were too rigid. They had blow through of heated gas that acted like a blowtorch on the external fuel tank of the space shuttle and blew up and about a minute into flight. The other one was a piece of foam broke off, hit the wing on the left side of Columbia, knocked a hole in the wing, which they did not know about. And then during reentry, the wing and the surface and the tiles, they're supposed to repel the heat of reentry, did not repel it, but instead was wide open to it. And little by little, the heat made the space shuttle unflightworthy, so that the belief is it finally could no longer maintain the necessary attitude for reentry, and it flared up and took all the heat of reentry, and it also broke apart. I don't know that it exploded, but it broke apart. We might use more everyday things like a filter. A filter is supposed to stop certain things and allow other things in. We have filters all around. But the biggest filters, the most important filters, are not mechanical or made in a factory. People are the most important filters. Because people are given charge to make sure that the area they are responsible for is kept safe from external harm. In Joshua chapter 1, the first 9 verses focused upon Joshua. Really, there was other things on the side. But Joshua now is the leader. Joshua, one of the 2 spies that gave a good report of the land 40 years before. Joshua now is the leader. And it is put upon him that in order for him to be a leader, he must be strong and courageous. And if he is not, that it will not work out. Being strong and courageous is repeated so often in this opening chapter. That is his requirement. And it really means that he is to be true to the Word of God. In spite of the press of the world against that. The world is against us following the Word of God. Every Christian, if they follow the Word of God, must be courageous in this day. Because there's going to be blowback for it. The world does not like you being anything other than worldly. And I don't mean just in the world and letting them be worldly, but you be worldly too. So Joshua is to keep the law. And he was, by that law, to maintain a devotion to the will of God. The Lord did not speak this to the entire congregation. Obviously, the entire congregation of Israel would have to be strong and courageous. The soldiers were going to battle, they would have to be strong and courageous. In everybody's place, not everybody, I guess, but a lot of people would have to stand in a way to be strong and courageous. But Joshua was the top of that. And if Joshua would not be strong and courageous, the people would not be strong and courageous. The soldiers would not be strong and courageous. The entire success or failure of the plan of God for the promised land, Canaan, really was on Joshua. All he had to do was be strong and courageous. Be careful. Verse 7 says, to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. He says, you may have success wherever you go. Courage. Courage is maintaining, in this particular context, maintaining the way of God when it is resisted and rejected and totally mocked and ridiculed. People fill these places. And the first part is just, you know, be strong and courageous. After this, we get to how it affects others, but it's implicit in the opening part that Joshua has to be strong and courageous in himself, so that the children of Israel have success. But it starts with Joshua. A lot of things that are in society right now, a lot of things, and we could go on and on for days and days and days and days if we really wanted to. A lot of things have entered society via a bad filter. Some leader in a position to stop something bad did not have the courage to stop something bad. Or he did not have the sense to stop it. And it not only got through, but it advanced and grew and all that because of cowardice in leadership. We might almost be able to say that a great bulk, or maybe even all, of the failures of society and the corruption of society has at some point worked its way through a leader who did not lead and protect and stand his ground. Instead, he let something bad through. And once it got through, it was done. Parents today will not tell a child what their gender is because they've been intimidated. They're not courageous. We often like to think, I wrote a book, you know, I was trying to be as outlandish as possible about things that would happen in church. It would be selfish and self-centered and self-oriented. And, you know, I wasn't even done with the book until people were actually doing the things I was making up in the book that I thought would never happen. This is one thing I never saw coming, was that we would be confused about gender as a society. It's unreal. And you've got parents who are afraid to tell their child, whether they're a girl or a boy, lest they be swooped upon by the vultures of our day. And what happens? I do believe that, if I remember right, I just was one of the earliest episodes of learning I ever had was I learned the difference between a man and a woman. I mean, that there were two genders. Not all the parts, of course. But, you know, I told you here before, I thought a dog was male and a cat was female. I thought that's how it was. But no, I learned that that's not true. But there are male and female. And, you know, I learned that when I got old enough, we went into this bathroom and the girls went into this bathroom. That's just the way it was. You know, schools have to have now three sets of bathrooms because they don't feel like they can tell anybody that they can't go to this or that one. They lack courage. Somebody started that. Somebody had the opportunity, more than one, to stand up and say, no, no, no. The parents that are failing today, they have a chance to stand up and say, listen, you'll be confused about a lot of things in your life, but this is not going to be one of them. You are a boy or a girl. And go from there. You let that out, then they're confused from the start about something very basic that they shouldn't be confused about. School officials have been a screen door letting bad things into schools. The Bible has been pushed out and humanism brought in. So many homeschoolers, we homeschool, as you know, Jessica, it's very difficult for kids in school and for parents who have kids in public schools these days. They're better in certain parts of the country as far as the corruption of it. But it's just so bad. And yet, nobody's standing up there saying, no, we got to stop this. You can't stop it now. The Congress never says no to spending. Have you ever heard Congress say, no, no, we're spending too much. We've got to stop that. Too much time. No, 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 we can't. Reagan, maybe. I think our president now may be trying to do some of that, but you can't. It's so, nobody's closing the door. Here comes a bunch of bad stuff, and Congress just opens the door and lets it all in. You can't police the borders. You can't make value judgments. The NFL last year, National Football League, could not stop one person who was protesting, could not stop that from gaining ground and taking over the entire league. Nobody was courageous enough to. Where are the people? Look at Ezekiel 22. This is not just something that is today needed. It's just not today that we see a bunch of cowards letting things in that shouldn't be let in. But this was something the Lord looked for. in the whole nation of Israel. Ezekiel 22. Verse 30. Now, you know Ezekiel's a prophet during a time of the, being taken from the land, the attack from Babylon, and the things that are happening there. And the Lord was very patient with the people. It says in verse 29 of Ezekiel 22, the people of the land have practiced oppression and committed robbery, and they have wronged the poor and needy and oppressed the sojourner without justice. And here's what the Lord says he did. I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. What he's saying is that he was looking for somebody who was courageous, a man to stand in the gap, to build the wall, to stop it from coming in and continuing to pollute the land. To make an end of it. To say no more. And look, I found no one. Not just today that people are cowards. People go along to get along. They do not stand up. Thus, verse 31, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their ways I have brought upon their heads, declares the Lord God. Somebody stand in the way and stop it. You always hear somebody who stands up as a hero, stands up and grabs people out of a fire, or police officers or firemen or whatever, rescue people. And they risk their lives and go in and they make a wall and they block off harm and they bring out and rescue those in trouble. And we admire that. God said he was looking for that in Israel and didn't find anybody to do it. Everybody was just open to the corruption of the day. And so many people in crucial positions of leadership will not exercise courage to keep the bandits out of the house. In my life, I've never seen it less courageous than now. People are afraid of their own shadows. Comedians can't, they talk about how they can't do comedy anymore because they offend people and they get sued. And then they get a bunch of people who want to cancel them out and say, this person said this, and so we don't want to stop all his business from having success, and nobody can talk to him anymore, and he can't eat anymore, and nobody's selling him any clothes anymore, nobody's selling him a car anymore, and let's get his wife and children away from him. This is the way people are today. And it happens when somebody just will not stand up and say, no, wait a minute here. Are you really saying that you think monkeys over the course of time evolved into humans? And nobody stood there. Nobody. Nobody. And so then it's gone. Well, unless in the opening chapters of Joshua, unless Joshua is going to be that man, then everything comes in. The seal, we put sealer on our deck. We put something over the wood to keep the water from just having its way with the deck. We seal other things. We have these little Tupperware type things. I don't know if there's even what Tupperware parties are anymore, but they got little Tupperware things. You seal this stuff up, it makes a, and then you can burp it a little bit and get all the air out, and that'll last forever. That is a seal. If you don't have that, it leaches into it and it destroys it. People are the filters, and Joshua is the prime filter. He has to be strong and courageous. Now, after that is Joshua. Now, if Joshua will be that, the Lord has said he will have success. You can lose a bunch of other underlings, but you got to have the leader lead. he doesn't lead, you're pretty well doomed. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you're to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. That is the first step of courage. Now, he's been told to be courageous. Verse 9, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. If you're strong and courageous, then you do the next thing that requires courage and strength. So if you're not strong and courageous, you do not plan to go over the river. You do not plan to go through the river. You do not plan to go into the other land, because that is enemy territory. You cannot go. That's what happened before. They were not courageous. The people, they were so upset. They just passed through the Red Sea, and they said God could not bring them into the promised land. They had walked across the Red Sea on dry ground with the water standing up on either side, and they lacked faith to go into the promised land. They'd just been in Egypt, where the Lord had rained down 10 plagues upon the Egyptians but kept Israel separate, and they didn't think that the Lord could bring them into the promised land. Fear is a very, very corruptive influence upon us. It's all in society. And without courage and strength, you're at the mercy of the flow of this age, which is corrupt. So when you get to the latter half of this first chapter, you see that the other people are banking also on Joshua's courage, and they also themselves have to be courageous. And it says, he starts to command the people. Here's what's going to happen in 3 days. This has got to be an exciting time. You got to be strong and courageous, but after all this time, now, finally, they're going to go into the promised land in 3 days. For some, it would have seemed like a forever, because they were so eager to get in there. For some, it would have seemed like maybe a few seconds, because I don't know what we're going to do. But they had to be all strong. Remember the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh? They had gotten land on the other side of the Jordan where they already were, but they had promised that they would go in and fight, and when they were done, they would go back to their inheritance on that side of the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan. And so that is what is mentioned there. They're commanded, and they say, yes, we will absolutely do exactly what we said we would do. We will obey you like we obeyed Moses. If anyone doesn't obey you, they should be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. The only thing that can derail this thing is if Joshua will not be strong and courageous. Not just optimistic. You can be optimistic and not have a hope for success. In this case, optimism, yeah, but it's grounded in what God said. He's giving you this land. Take it. He is giving you the land. You just have to go in and get it. You have to fight for it. He's not going to shoo them out himself. Would that have been a lot easier? Or just go, boo, and they all run off. Then they walk in there, and that's a lot easier. He says he wants them to be strong. This is our Christian life. We don't just, the Lord doesn't do for us. We do for the Lord. And we do so by faith and courage and strength, or we are cowardly. We shrink back. And the Bible says, if anyone shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. That was the thing in Hebrews, where the Jews were very much pressured by the entire Jewish community not to follow Christ, because the bulk of the Jews did not follow Christ. So much so that in Paul's day, he says, I see that Israel has a zeal, but not God. Not according to knowledge. They're not zealous for God. They're in unbelief. They were unsaved at that point. Now we've seen in Revelation, we've seen in Zechariah, we've seen in prophecies in the Old Testament that they will one day be believers, the nation, and be part of the church and be a nation. But then they were not. And so to be a Christian in India is courage. To be a Christian in an Arab country, it requires great courage. Now, we're not there yet, but if you look over at Revelation 21, not there yet is in our study of Revelation. I'm done with Revelation until after Christmas now. I'm not going into 17 until after Christmas. But this is something that is, I may have explained it before, I'm not sure if it's recent. Verse 8 of Revelation 21. Now, verse 7 says, "He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." This is that overcoming thing which was mentioned in the very opening few chapters of the book. But, verse 8, "For the cowardly and unbelieving." Why is that there? Cowardly? Our normal connection of courage has to do with a special person called a soldier or a rescue person, policeman or a fireman. You mean I have to be courageous? I don't feel courageous. I feel a little tiny and small and weak. That's not the courage that's required there. The cowardly are those who will not believe in Jesus. It's connected there and unbelieving. That goes together. The cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Cowardice is deeper than just an act of shrinking back. It is, if you trace it down, all the way to a person's lack of faith and belief in God. Because if you believe in God, you can do whatever. If you believe in God and God says do something, and you can do it. You will stand. If you are a Christian, when the pressure is hot on you, it will not be pleasant, it will not be comfortable, it will not be good, it will be very hurtful and heartbreaking, but you will not deny Christ. You will not. And that is one thing that we see in those who persist even to martyrdom, is that their faith is genuine. They're not going to give in. And it takes an enormous amount of courage to do that. If you don't have it, what you're doing is you're protecting yourself. Cowards protect themselves. You are not concerned about the effect it's having. And when Joshua is talked to at the end there by the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they said, "Now you just be strong and courageous." Because if the leader isn't, then it filters through and infects the entire nation. A parent, a father especially, has to be strong and courageous in his family, or things get in that should not be in there. As your pastor, I've got to keep out, and the deacons with me have got to keep out stuff that should not get in here in the doctrine of this church and in practices or anything that would be against the will of God. And it's very hard sometimes. I don't feel necessarily it's hard for me here. You're very much supportive of that. In some churches, pastors are constantly berated about doing this or that and changing this and that and believing this or that, something different. And it is, in some, becomes too much and they just compromise a little bit. And once you let that through, it's over. But we're filters. I don't like to hear the percentages. If I get one of these Roach motels, and we've gotten them before, put them out in the garage in various places. I don't want to hear the odds. I want to see that the Roach motel. I like that thing. Roaches check in, but they don't check out. I love that. I want to hear that 100% of the roaches that go in here, they're going to die. And that's that. I don't hear, well, you know, it's not perfect. It gets half of them. I don't hear the doctor tell me that before I go into surgery. We have really good success. 50% of the people can walk after the surgery. What? I'm walking now. Well, let's hope for the best. The way we, as much as we can on earth, determine the outcome of things for our family, for our church, for our society, for those who are under our leadership, whatever that would be, in whatever capacity, is for us to be strong and courageous. We know then that there's a chance. A child might still be rebellious and whatever. I think the tendency is, if we're strong and courageous, he will tend to be strong and courageous too and follow the Lord. But it's not guaranteed. But it probably is pretty much guaranteed if you don't follow the Lord that they won't follow the Lord. But when you start letting in, I wonder how much water is an acceptable amount for a submarine to let soak through the skin of the submarine. A gallon an hour, a little leak here and there. I bet you if you build a submarine and you put that thing in the water and one little drop of water got in there that was other than condensation from the inside, you would not sail in that submarine. And how big were those holes in those rafts, remember, we'd take out in the pool? Had a little bitty pinprick hole in it. That wouldn't leak out, would it? Jump on that thing a little bit. It's a piece of plastic within 10 minutes. It's going to be empty of air. We're filters, if you want to look at it that way. And we've got to be firm, strong, courageous, dedicated. Others tell us, no, you can't do that. If the world tells us we cannot do something God tells us to do, we should do it double what we were going to do. Because that's just the whisperings of the devil to us, to tell us that if we'll just give in a little bit, things will be better. It's never better if we compromise. We can compromise and still be in the will of God. If we can be flexible about a lot of things. A lot of things aren't wrong. We can change certain things, but they aren't wrong. We can modernize. We can play guitars that we do. But there's nothing wrong with that. But if you were to say, you know, the Bible is not completely the Word of God. There's geography, history stuff. It's not really accurate there. Let's just hold on to the faith parts. You've thrown the whole thing away. And a lot of Southern Baptist churches have done that. They've thrown the whole thing away because they don't believe the history there, or the date is right, or geography reference is right. So they say, well, that's not right, but this over here is right. It doesn't take people long to remember, to see that, well, if this over here is wrong, why is that right? And it's gone. And a church won't follow the Word of God. So that's our responsibility as well, to be strong and courageous for the sake of others as well as ourselves. Any comments or thoughts?